Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Y'all, good. Hey, Kyle, can you keep playing those keys just for a moment? I just feel there's a heaviness in the room, and I truly believe that wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. And there's some people in the room that need to know that you can be free. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you feel like your situation is not changing. You feel like you're not good enough. You feel like you're too far away. You're too far gone. I just want to let you know that God sees you. That maybe whatever you came in here with that is weighing you down, like we said in the song, come and lay it down. Lay it at his feet. Listen. He didn't call you because you were qualified. He qualifies those he's called. So somebody say, shake it off. No, come on, say it like you mean it. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake off those old grave clothes. Shake off the chains. Be free today. In Jesus' name. God is up to something in this house. He's doing something new. When you look around the earth, you see there's people that are thirsty and they're searching. Well, guess what, y'all? We know someone that can satisfy all our needs, that can quench our thirst, that can satisfy our hunger. And so maybe you came in here lost, but maybe you can leave found. I don't know what you're looking for, but he's looking for you. I don't know what you've told yourself before you got here today that you wasn't good enough, but I'm here to say that you were created in his image. And I truly believe with all my heart, there's no accident that you're here today. Amen. So right now, Heavenly Father, I just say, have your way. Touch the hearts of your people in this room today. Whoever came that felt so far away from you, God, show them that you are near. The Bible says that you are closest to the brokenhearted, God. Allow them to experience your freedom, your grace, and your mercy, God. Because if it wasn't for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen. All right, yo, what's up? Give it up for the worship team one more time, all right? All right, so we're going to jump right into it. Kyle, thank you, my guy. Thank you for using your gifts, bro. Thank you. Y'all, I'm excited to be back because, man, I feel like I haven't been in my house for a minute. I mean, people be asking me, where you been at? I've been on a road chasing Kyrie. My son plays AAU, and we have been moving. So it's good to be home. And today, we're going to talk about that Jesus party we've been talking about for a while. Right? Because ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. I know that's right. And so today, I really have this word that the Lord gave me for anyone that feels lost or for anyone that's been lost or maybe for someone that thinks he's been found but is lost. Whatever it may be, I believe that God truly has a word for you. And so just a quick life update, man. A lot has happened this summer. A lot of people ask me, what are you up to? Man, God has been moving. I recently just got ordained as a minister, so praise God for that. when you say yes to God, you never know what he's up to. I didn't have this in the plans. I was just hoping for a couple bills to be paid. You know what I'm saying? But God does so much more. The Bible says exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ask, think, or imagine. He does more. And now the last several years, God has been doing a work, not only in me, but in my home. Home is where the heart is, but home is where the hurt is. Who is that for today? I don't know who that is for. Because some of us don't experience love at the house. They experience hurt. And that's the reason why maybe we don't love to be at home, but we love to be at work. You know, with all our baggage, it can be kind of heavy to live the life that God has called you to live. And I remember years ago when I moved from Fort Dodge. Any Fort Dodgers in the house? Yeah. One in my family, all right. Man, we was moving to the big city. We was like, we're gonna move to that big city. And boy, when we got to the big city ate us up. And I'm telling you, it was something in my life that was driving me. Driving me to prove myself to people that did not care about me. I was lost. You know, they say big city, bright lights, but don't you know a bright light's blind? And I was so blinded when I came up here. And quite frankly, fell into some very hard times. What happens when the destination you move to that you thought was going to bring you life actually brings death? Uh-oh, I'm in somebody's house today. The thing that you thought was going to satisfy you is a thing that is now distasteful. You thought that you were going to come up, but all you seem to do is come down. And I had these hopes and I had these dreams for my family. I'm going to get up here. We're going to get a good job. I had all these things. But you know one thing I forgot to do, y'all? Forgot to invite God into them plans. How many times have we gotten ahead of God? Planning, got the whole thing laid out. All of a sudden, we get to the place that we thought God was calling us to, but let's be real, we wasn't checking for him. We thought we was going to come up. We thought we was about to take over the world. And the world took over us. Today, I got a word. And that word is simple. Lost and found. Ooh, lost connection on that Wi-Fi or something. Okay. You ever been lost before? Come on now. Let's be real. Let's be transparent. You ever been lost before?
Yes.
Where you felt like, I don't know who I am anymore. That you feel like, I don't know if this way is right or that way is right. You ever been there before? And you're so confused on your purpose. You're so confused on if you're even in the right location. Like, anybody have GPS? Man, I would be lost without that thing. Amen. And I want somebody to know right now that God's word is a GPS for your life. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that God's word is a light. It guides. But guess what? It's also a sword. It cuts. And I'm telling you, boy, when I was lost and I needed something, that word of God started to cut me up. I couldn't even go home and look my wife in that face because I was so disgusted at how far lost I was. I remember days where brokenness was my bestie. And darkness was my friend. So that's what it means to be lost. Isaiah 53 says it this way, that we are all like sheep. We have gone astray. And you know why we go astray? Because we're trying to do things our own way. How many of you guys love to do things your way? Boy, huh? And how many times has that worked out? It didn't work out. And we keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, but it doesn't work. And so I just want to say this. I want to bring some context to my message today. So we're going to be in Luke 15 for all my Bible readers. So if you got your Bibles and you're old school and you want to swipe, if you're young school, swipe it. If you're old school, bring out that word. Either way, I want to break this down and give you some context to my message. All right? Luke 15. So the beginning of the chapter starts off with Jesus talking to the Pharisees, all right? And these Pharisees don't like Jesus because he's talking about this, you know, this hanging out with sinners. And they don't like that because they uber religious and ultra righteous, right? And they don't like the fact that he's associating himself with the lows of the lows, you know what I'm saying? And so he's breaking down these parables to them. And in the first parable, he talks about the lost sheep, how he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Anybody the one in here? Because I was the one. If he did not leave that 99, I would not be here today. Don't you know that God will leave? Don't you know that God sent Jesus who left his, he left the throne and came low for you?
Amen.
He became powerless, though he was all powerful. He humbled himself for the one. So he's talking about how he leaves the 99 for the one. Then he goes on to tell another parable about this woman that had some coins. And one of these coins got lost, and so she swept her house, cleaned it up to find this one. And when she found it, she was rejoicing. You guys ever found something that you lost for a very long time? Maybe it was some earrings, or maybe it was some Jordans or something, like you was like trying to really match the fit with, you know, and you found them. The first thing you probably did was called up one of your homies or one of your besties and was like, dog, found him. I found it. I'm coming out tonight. And so we have this level of joy when we find things. So Jesus is explaining to them how things work in the kingdom. Well, he goes on to say, talks about the son. And it's funny, in this parable, it's a little bit different than the other two, because in the other two, he's talking about how God goes out and finds. Well, in this parable, it's a little bit different because this time, the one gets lost, but he comes back. I'm telling y'all, when God showed me this, it really opened up my eyes that some of this involves us coming back. Yes, he goes out, but there's also a coming back that we are responsible for. Oh, Jesus, I feel that. So let's jump right into it. All right, Luke 15. So verse 12 says, the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and he moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. Man, think about this. Don't miss this, please. The very beginning, for those that are actually following, it says that the son asked for what he wanted before his son died, before his father died. A lot of times in life, we be asking God for things before we're ready for it. Lord, I just want to get married. You know, I've been waiting. I've been praying for a shorty. And man, I've been waiting. Or maybe it was a job, or maybe it was an opportunity. But in our flesh, we are prone to asking God for things we're not ready for. And then we get so mad at him when he doesn't give it to us. And a lot of times, that's the thing that causes us to rebel. That's the thing that would take us out and say, you know what? You're not a good father. So him being a good father in this text is he actually agrees and to give the younger kid the inheritance. Let's go ahead. How many times have you asked for something and God gave it to you and the thing that he gave you broke your heart? I'm just think about it. God, you know what? You know what? I really want to move to that city. Mm-hmm. I really want to date that person. You know what? And God's okay. I've tried to tell you, but you, if you want it, go ahead. Anybody been there before? And the thing that you thought was going to actually bring you freedom is actually the thing that enslaved you. See, what I see in this text here is that this younger child here, this immature mindset he had, was thinking that a distant land was better than being in the presence of God. Don't miss what I'm saying today. Anytime we, as believers, think that what is outside of God's presence is best for us, we're lost. You see me stress about this all the time. For those that know me, there is nothing better than being in the presence of God. If you want to be transformed, spend your time with God. If you want to become more like Him, spend time with Him, because you become who you hang out with. And a lot of times we are so worried about what other people got going on that we will sacrifice our time with God to go chase that thing. See, the Bible says here in another version, it says that he went to a distant country. Some of us will move to a whole distant land away from God just to enjoy our flesh. And I'm telling you, like this kid here, he wasted everything in wild living. So let me make this point real quick, because I want somebody to catch this. Let me slow down, because I got some time today. It's 11 o'clock. Y'all good? All right. This ain't 10 o'clock. You know, 11 o'clock, you can kind of sneak on and get 50 minutes. No, I'm kidding. All right, check. You remember being young and your family had some rules that you had to follow, and you felt like the rules were restricting you? It was stopping you from living your best life. And so when they went to sleep, you took the car and started rolling around town. Oh, maybe that's just me. But I remember there was days where I just didn't like what was happening at the house. I couldn't be free. I couldn't move and do what I wanted to do. So when the nighttime came, when darkness came, I felt like this was the perfect time to live my best life. Ooh, watch out for darkness. Because darkness will pounce up on you. And many of us try to sneak and do what we're trying to do in the dark, like God don't see you. And I'm telling you, darkness deceives. And we've talked about this often. Have you ever been in the dark? I remember last night, I couldn't sleep for nothing. The Lord was not letting me sleep. So I was sleeping, and I opened my eyes, and I could see in the dark. Anybody ever been there before where your eyes have adjusted to the darkness? That's what a lot of us do in our sin. All because you can see doesn't mean you can see. There's a difference between seeing and looking. There's a difference between hearing and listening. And I just want to let you know right now that there is a way that seems right to a person, but it leads to death. It leads to destruction. And so this younger, immature kid did not know that. He was thinking, I'm going to get my bread, I'm going to move to a distant land. So he blows it all in wild living. But let me remind you of this good word here. That God's word was not created to restrict you, but to protect you. This is why we stress here to stay in God's word and build your life on his word. See, I had a life that I was not built on his word. And guess what? When the rain came and the winds blew, my house was not built on him. Almost lost everything. Almost lost it all. The marriage, the relationship with my son, lost myself. Lost my way. Because I didn't build my life on God's word. See, remember I said earlier that God's word is a lamp to our feet and it's a light unto our path. If God's word is not the guide, you're lost. You may not feel like you lost because you got a couple of things that are keeping you comfortable and it appears to be that you're living the blessed life, but the devil knows how to bless people too. And this is why you see me get up here and preach with this passion, because I know what it's like to think that you're walking in the light but you're living in darkness. The Bible says if the light that you think is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Deception. If you don't think the devil is working overtime in this season of life, in the season that we're in this culture, you're tripping. I mean, think about it. The Bible says that the devil, you guys remember the devil was an angel. Woo, Jesus, thank you. The devil was an angel, got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be worshipped. Jesus sends him down to earth, or God. God sends him down to earth. He becomes the prince of the air. If you don't think the devil knows the word, then you're tripping. Because he does. So it's important that we know the word. Because the Bible says that he disguises darkness. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And so when we don't know God's word and it's not our guide, we become deceived. This young kid thought prestige was better than the presence of the Lord. Let me say this to you. Don't trade his presence for prestige. He had the abundant life. He had everything. He had peace, joy, love. He had a covering. He had community. He had connection. And a lot of times when we are in this space, we take for granted what we actually have. You got a roof over your head. You got some people around you. I know they get on your nerves sometimes. And I know you're not balling out of control. I know you ain't got what you think that you want. But you got all that you need. And here in this text here, I put down the abundant life. So I'm sitting at home. You know, I love the Lord. So I go home and I sit down right before I prepare. And I sit on the edge of the bed and I sit down. And I said, God, what you trying to do? That's the first thing I said to him, what you trying to do? I take a deep breath. I got some music in the background. I'm chilling. And he says to me, Julian, people are confusing the abundant life with the luxury life. I know all these pastors got jets and planes and big houses. But that's not abundant life, Julian. He says the abundant life is rich in purpose, relationships, and gratitude, centered on Christ and marked by growth, contentment, and the joy of giving. That's the abundant life. You don't hear nothing about Lamborghini truck. You don't hear nothing about a $4.5 million mansion. You don't hear nothing about a jet that can take you to the Bahamas and back, caught a red eye. Like, you never heard anything about that when it came to the abundant life. The abundant life is internal. It's peace that surpasses all understanding. It's joy that's overflowing. There's mercy and grace rolling over, chasing after you. It's contentment. Paul said it best. He was in prison, in chains. He said, whether I have a little or a lot, I can be content in all circumstances. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you keep pursuing this life thinking that it's gonna fill you up. But let me tell you right now before you get there, it's not what you think it is. It's not gonna satisfy that hunger that you have. But sometimes, just like this father here, sometimes God will let you go just for you to find out. Oh, you really wanna smoke that? Go ahead and smoke that. And sometimes, listen, y'all, go ahead and smoke that, go ahead and drink that. God has been trying to tell you, don't do it. God sent people, sent friends and family members, don't do it. But a lot of us we'll run past and dodge all the red flags just to get to the distant land, just to satisfy our flesh. This wretched man am I, this flesh, how it gets in the way of what God has called us to do. I really want us to see here, because the meat of my message is in the abundant life versus the luxury life. Listen to this. A luxury life is defined by comfort, elegance, and I always mess that up. Exclusivity. Thank you. Yeah. It's about enjoying the finest experiences, premium quality, and the freedom to indulge in life's most lavish offerings. I don't know about you, but that sounds like flesh all over it. Come on now, if we can be transparent here. How many of us would love a life like that? Keep it a buck with me. Come on. So no one wants to live a lavish life. Okay, well, there's some wise people, but I truly believe in our hearts of hearts, we want our cake and eat it too. We don't like when people are telling us how to live. The Bible says that we should meditate on his word day and night, and I don't think there's anybody in this room that has done it every single day. Because sometimes our flesh gets the best of us. And we want to satisfy our flesh. And a luxury life doesn't always got to look like planes and jets and waterfalls and clear blue skies, which is very nice. Like, it's not always about that. You know what a luxury life is? Indulging in your flesh. Some of us love to just have an attitude. Luxury. Some of us just love to gossip about people. Some of us just love to be right. Ooh, I hit somebody. Some of us love to be right more than be in relationship. And God says, okay. You want to go? Go. You think that's going to satisfy you? Go ahead. See, God loves you enough to let you go. And he loves you too much to make you stay. See, God has given us gifts. And I'm going to say this to you. God has given us all gifts. That younger son didn't have to go out there and waste his money or any of that stuff on while living. It was a choice. So my question to you is right here, and it's simple. What you decide to do with what God has given you is on you. I'll say it bold. I'll say it with my chest. It is on you. It is on us. God has given us all gifts and talents. And a lot of times what we do with the gifts and talents, we try to build our own kingdom. We want the glory. We want people to look at us. That's why we'll spend money in Amazon. I mean, for all my Amazon shoppers, Amazon. And like, listen, your bank account and your credit card statement exposes your heart. The Bible says, wherever your treasure is, your heart is there also. So don't tell me that you don't love some good old Amazon and be able to buy or pay for something on this day and pull up, and before you even wake out of the bed, you got Amazon knocking on the door and the package is there. I'm talking about satisfying that flesh. The devil is quick on it. We want it right now. But here's the thing. You got to choose. He's not going to make you choose. He's giving you talents and gifts. Are you going to use them to glorify God? Amen. You guys been watching the Olympics? Sydney, right? McLaughlin, she is a runner, y'all. You know what I love about her? After she's still breaking records and her own records at that. She's giving glory to God at the highest level. Like, what would it look like? For real. Like, she doesn't have to. She chooses to give God glory. What would it look like if we chose to give God glory when we get the bonus? Or when God comes through for us when we couldn't come through for ourselves? A lot of times in our flesh, we want to say, I told you so. And God's looking at you like, you didn't even plan that. You didn't do nothing. And that's the thing I want us to see is that, like, it's up to us. Because the Bible says that if we are faithful with what the little bit that he's given us, he'll give us more. And remember, it was given to you. It wasn't yours to begin with. Ooh, I need somebody to hear that. What you keep trying to possess and hold on tightly to is not yours. It's his. It's his. Okay, let me keep on moving now. Let me keep on moving because I want to get to where I'm going. And so in this text here, he goes out into this country where they're living recklessly, right? Drinking, partying, money, cash money, they're making it rain. And a famine comes in the land. and eats up everything. And the Bible says about this time, he runs out of money. What happens? What happens when you have used up all that God has given you, when you should have been saving for a time where there was darkness, a time where there was a famine, a time for when the marriage was struggling, a time for when the job laid you off? See, the Bible talks about God knowing our tomorrows, that he knows everything about us. And a lot of times we take that for granted as if God didn't create you. And we get mad at God when the famine comes in the land, and we say things like, God, why didn't you protect me? God's like, why did you leave my covering? Why didn't you do it my way? See, he didn't just lose out on the money. What he lost covering, he lost community, he lost connection. And by this point, I'm sure he was losing hope. See, the father lost a son that day. And if you are a good father or a good parent, it's hard to see your kids choose something that is worse than what you were giving them. It breaks your heart. It ruins you. Because there's nothing that you can do to stop them, especially when your kids get 18. And they start going out there and they wild living and they think that they don't have to listen to you no more. And all of a sudden, you see them go down a dark path that is not good. And all you can do is pray. I believe during this season, when this young man, the Bible says here that this young man became hungry. So hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. What happens when the sin looks good to you now? When the broken marriage looks healthy. Don't miss this. A lot of times we get in seasons and spaces and places in life where we think where we are is good, but really it's not. And we are deceived by our own sinful desires. The Bible talks about how sin is deceitful. Listen, this is how sin works. We sin, and then we keep doing what we're doing, and then before you know it, the thing that was bad starts to look good. The relationship that is really toxic and everybody else can see it looks like the love of your life. Looks like this is the one, and everybody's like, that's not the one, that's not it. But when you are stooped in your sin and your heart is hardened, you lose your sight. The Bible talks about being blind. And now we got the blind leading the blind. This is important, folks. Not me just preaching. I'm talking about what I know. I remember living this out. I thought I was living a good life until the Lord exposed me and says, you're headed the wrong way. And after going through the most suicidal time in my life in 2016 because I'd have made some mistakes, the Lord called my name. He called my name. See, the thing is, I kept going back to the world, trying to satisfy this desire I had inside. From one job to the next job, trying to fill this void. And it says here in this text in yellow, but no one gave him anything. The world would continue to take from you. And many of us think that the world is gonna give you back what it stole. The Bible says in John 10:10, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came so that we would have life and have it abundantly. That's what the Bible says. He came so that we would have life. He wants to see your situation resurrected. But we get in the way of that. We get in our own way. And I want to stress to you here, because I feel like there's so many people that don't come back from living that sinful life because of guilt and shame. They so covered up in mud and filth that they just start to have pity on themselves, right? You guys ever had a pity party? Where you just mad that you did it and you're like, you know what, I'm just gonna sit here and be like this. I'm just gonna sit here and be mad. I'm gonna sit here because I deserve it. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to sit and wallow in your brokenness, wallow in the mud. And this is what I know to be true in my own life, because I promise you, this is where it changed for me. See, God told me, he says, we die in our pride, but we find hope in humility. This young boy here had to make a choice. When that famine came, he could have been prideful and says, you know what? I ain't going back. Because you know what? If I go back, all they're going to do is laugh at me anyways and say, I told you so. I can't go back. I might as well just sit here in my brokenness and sit here in my distress. Sit here in my dysfunction and die. Pride comes before the fall. See, and I love this text here because, or this word here, because humility is something that we all as people struggle with. The Bible talks about how God will exalt those who are humble, right? But we have a hard time being humble. So what? In our pride, he humbles us. He starts to show us that we can't live without him. See, if the famine would have came, at least he was under his father's covering and would have touched him. See, in this world, we're going through famines, y'all. COVID came, wiped out the world, people, and the money. And I think a lot of us are like, man, we're trying to figure out this situation here with the finances. But let me tell you, there's nothing more important than you building a strong relationship with your father. It's easy text, and I know it's like, well, that's not that deep. It is really that deep, because if you would just get that in your spirit, everything else will work itself out. See, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it's my life scripture, y'all. When I was broken, about to do some things that I would regret, God said to me, I said, God, what do you want me to do? He says, be who I've called you to be. I said, okay. He was like, Matthew 6:33, seek first my kingdom, Julian, and my righteousness, and I'll add everything to your life. I'll give you the business. I'll show you how to use the gift. I'll show you, I'll give you wisdom. I'll show you how to navigate through the struggles of the world. He says, Julian, this world wasn't built in favor of you. Any believer in here, I just want to say this right now. If you play by the world's rules, you're going to have to die by the rules too. I see so many people, especially like in the life of like darkness. It's funny, I was, you know when you hear stories about people that live that life? I'm talking about like the gang life. You see stories that people die, family members die. It breaks my heart because that's the thing that comes, that's the rules in that world. And it breaks my heart because God offers something so much more better, so much better. He offers us peace, love, and joy. Protection. Like he offers us grace over and over, but we'll continue to push the plate away from us. And he keeps trying to put food on our plate, but we won't eat it in our pride, so we die in our pride. But man, this young man here in this text, he found hope in his humility. The Bible says that he came to his senses, y'all. When will we come to our senses? To realize that there is nothing more important than him. Nothing more important than him. You can keep trying, but the thing that you're chasing after, you're never going to catch. The Bible says it's like trying to catch the wind. Have you ever caught the wind before? You haven't. I mean, if you have, I mean, great. But we keep chasing after things that we'll never catch. And the devil has convinced us that that is the way of life. So after he humbles himself, y'all, check this out. After he humbles himself, comes to his senses, he realized that the pigs are eating better than him. If that's not humility, then I don't know what is. So the Bible says, so he returned home to his father, humbled himself. He came back home. He said, I can't keep living like this. I'm gonna go back home to my father. And the Bible says that The father saw while he was still a long way off. I don't know who this is for right now, but maybe you have been in a broken place and you know that things are not working out in your favor. The marriage is starting to struggle. The job ain't really fulfilling you. You know that there's some rocky things going on right now, and you have an opportunity. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you have an opportunity to turn back. Before you lose everything, oh my gosh, before you lose everything, you have an opportunity to come back. You get to humble yourself. And the cool thing I love about it is that the father saw him before he saw his father. Many of us think that God doesn't see us. But the Bible says that he sits high, but he looks low. And he's looking. And he knows that you've went astray. You can't hide from him. But he sees you from afar. As soon as you start turning back, the Bible says that this father was filled with compassion and he ran towards his son. He ran towards you. God is going to start running towards you. All you have to do is turn this way. All you got to do is do a 180. God can turn your situation around and God will meet you exactly where you are. All you have to do is turn. Turn before it burns. Turn before you lose it. Turn back to him. I'm telling you what I know. I think I'm here because I deserve it. And all my gifting and talents, I promise you this. All I did was turn to him and everything started to change. No, I'm telling you. Like, I'm telling you what I know. Because there's so many people that think that, oh my gosh, you know, like, I'm so far gone, it's going to take me forever to be restored. I'm going to tell you guys this. It don't take long to be strong. It really don't. I mean, you know how many people that say, Julian, all that has happened in 8 years. I promise you, I can't even make this up. I thought for sure that the Lord was like, definitely gave up my seat at the table. You know when you gone along for so long at the table that you're like, you know what? He ain't coming. Let this person feel it. Think about it. How many of us have experienced that in our families? Where we fell off the wagon, we got lost. And then when we try to come back, we weren't met with love and compassion. We was met with condemnation. And they started to point the finger at you. And when you wanted to come back and make a change, he was like, I'm done dealing with them. You know what? Maybe I should have died in my brokenness. I know the guilt and shame is heavy. And sometimes it's hard to hear truth. And I think that's why so many people, including myself, stayed in our brokenness for as long as we did. You guys remember David in the Bible, right? For my Bible readers in here, David was the king of Israel at one point. And David committed one of the most crazy sins of, like, he committed adultery, right? And he slept with one of his best friend's wives. Had his friend killed to try to cover it up. And the Bible talks about how David kept this thing a secret. Don't you know your secrets will eat you up from the inside out. Because what you don't talk about, you'll act it out. David had a secret that was on the inside of him that was killing him. The Bible says that in David keeping what was grievance to God, a secret, he started to wither away. I wonder, as I look to search the room, how many people are withering away because of their secrets. Because the things that you won't talk about. You scared, you know you want to be free. You hear the Lord speaking to you saying, let it go. But you have a hard time letting that thing go. Because you really are scared that they're not going to accept you anymore. That if you tell, people are going to start to laugh at you. That they're not going to look at you the same. Listen, y'all, I'll just say this. The reason why it's so important for us to be honest about where we are, so people can see us for who we truly are. For who we truly are, why? Because I think a lot of times we don't share is because we want to be worshiped. We want people to see us all cleaned up and good. At least that was my thing. I didn't want nobody to. I'm like, man, I'm perfect. I didn't think I was. I knew I wasn't. But we want people to look at us a certain way. Like we got it all figured out. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were looking righteous, but on the inside, there was dead man, bones. Their hearts were far away from God. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but all because you look the part doesn't mean that you are the part. God sees everything. The Bible says that people judge the outward appearance. God judges the heart. And I'm just trying to do some heart surgery. God will not bless who you pretend to be. How many times do we think, God, you know I made a mistake? Hey, I'm just going to keep this one. I'm going to take this one to the grave, God, because if I tell anybody, Lord, you know, but you know, you say you forgive, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so you may be healed. So do you want your healing or not? Healing happens in confession. Oh boy, I had to get real in 2020. I had to confess some things. Things that crippled me. Things that left some scars. But at least I'm free. At least I'm free. How many people want to be free? How many people really want to be free? Because God has freedom for you. The world will enslave you, but God will bring freedom. But it starts when we realize and confess that we are in need of a Savior. Amen. Y'all, check this out. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but this is a word for somebody because I wrote it down. Of course I did, right? Love and compassion creates a safe place for transparency and vulnerability. If y'all having some struggles in the home, do what this father did. Meet your kids, meet the people that have went astray with love and compassion. The reason why they're not transparent with you is because the environment is not safe. You've been wanting them to tell you things, but they just can't tell you things because every time they tell you something, you start to blame them. Oh, y'all, I'm guilty, dog. All the therapy we had to go through for me to figure that thing out. All right, we laugh, but hey, listen, I believe in theology and therapy. Amen. Like, if you really want to be restored, you need some people in your life that can pour into your life. Because a lot of us are literally trying to build a life in your dysfunction. It takes humility, y'all, to invite people into your space. And you know how many times I was like, man, I feel like I got it under control. But then I found out after about a couple weeks, things is getting worse. The bleeding is getting worse. The infection is starting to spread. But if we can create a safe place for people, maybe they'll be honest about what they're really going through. This is why I love Jesus. I thought he was about to put the hands on me when I came back. You know what he did? He blessed me more than I could ever imagine. When I just decided that what he has is enough for me, that his timing is the best timing, that his way is the best way. When I just surrendered, not in public, y'all. Private. I don't know what you're going through, but maybe the shift hasn't happened yet in your life because you really haven't got God right in your heart. You haven't fully surrendered to God. You keep holding on to that thing that's enslaving you. And yes, you're trying to bring it to God, but as soon as you leave it at the altar when no one's looking, you grab it back up again. You tell people that you done smoking, but got a pack in a car. You isolate yourself away from people, it's because you're really living in sin and you don't want nobody to know. What would it look like if you would trade the thing that is holding you hostage for the thing that will bring you freedom? Y'all, I know it's quiet in here, it's heavy and it's real. Because we need some people to step up. I love this church, y'all. I'll say this again. Because we're trying to be a lighthouse 24/7. We're trying to shine bright no matter where we go. And I am telling you guys right now, we need people that are on fire for the Lord. I get up here and I preach with conviction, dog, because I see what's happening to our babies. I see the world trying to indoctrinate them with all these different things, and it breaks my heart. As I'm traveling the world with my family, I say the world, I mean the nation, but I travel with my family, I get to meet all different types of people. And it just reminds me of how lost we are. And it breaks my heart because many people have left the faith thinking that the faith is weak. See, we talk about God, but we deny the power. And I talk to God all the time, and I said, Lord, like, what do you want me to do? He says, don't just preach about it, be about it. Pastor Hirsch would say, much rather see a sermon than hear one. What would it look like if you understood that restoration can happen quickly? What if I told you that if you come back to the Father, that God will quickly restore you? See, because I love this. When he came back home and he started to rehearse what he was going to say to his father about, hey, Father, I'm not good enough. Just take me back as a servant. The father said, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. See, God says, when you come back to me, I'll quickly give you back your covering. Listen, he says, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. God says, I'm about to turn this world right side up for you. God started to give him everything that he lost living in the wildlife. He met his need immediately. So many of us are thinking like, man, I don't know, man. It's going to take a lot to get out of that debt. Try God. Ooh. Try God. Because I guarantee you, when I turned to him, man, I had a different job like that. It was like, oh, God really is who he says that he is. So maybe you were waiting for a blessing. He is the blessing. But matter of fact, he is the blesser. So if you want a blessing, go to the blesser. Stop going to the world. Go to God. And I love this. I love this. Somebody say quick. Now say it with your chest. Somebody say quick.
Quick.
Woo. Just as quick as you said quick. He about to turn somebody's situation around. You're about to go home and things are going to start to look a little bit different. You're going to go home and that attitude that you came in with, you're about to leave with some freedom today. You're going to have some compassion. All you have to do is allow him to get on the inside. So today, don't leave the same way that you came, because he can quickly turn your situation around. See, when God finds people, he changes it. And somebody's in here, I know that somebody's in here asking, Julian, what does it mean to be found? Let me say my last point for you. My last point for you, catch this. To be found is to be fully known by God. No, 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 no. Not partly known. Have you ever been fully known? Or even in your brokenness and in your darkness, he still chose you. I'm talking about fully known, that even though that right now when you get out of here, some of us are going to go back to living that same way, that he still loves you. I'm talking about fully known. That when he shows up, all things change. That no matter what you've done, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I'm talking about fully known. See, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, that was a hefty price. Jesus was fully known by God. He knew that his father would resurrect him. He knew that his father brings dead things back to life. He knew it. And what would it look like for you to know that God could turn your situation around? Fully known. Remember, you guys know Torrin Wells? That song called Fully Known. Like, it hits my spirit. Because for the first time in my life, I was filled with peace, because for the first time I felt like I was fully known. That all my brokenness and all my flaws, God still chose me. So listen, y'all, you guys can stand up on your feet. Stand up, please. And we got this song called Good News. It's a song that we sing a lot of times, but I want you to sing it with your chest. Not just like, okay. I'm like, stop thinking about the luncheon you headed to. I know y'all hungry. But think about the feast that God has prepared for you in this party. I got some good news. God was throwing a party just for you. God bless.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.